I'm not sure. I usually don't know what I should share or shouldn't share, but my mind had been going to the bondage that Adam and Eve found themselves in by disobedience and by walking against the will of God, and how we're no different. We can, in our, I don't know if all youth have to be this way, but we tend to allow ourselves to want to rule, and even growing up still we have to guard ourselves, even though we want to please God and we have surrendered to God, we're still in danger of wanting our own wills. And when we do that, we end up in bondage. And that is, I was thinking how Adam and Eve, or I guess especially Eve, how she allowed Satan to like bring her down and tempt her. And as God said, you know, why can't I do this, or why can't I think the way I want to think? I thought of drawing these pictures of a couple of people in here and being put in bars into prison, and I don't think I can. Maybe I could get somebody else to do that, but we can imagine being put into a prison and being captive. We end up being captive to our own lusts and thoughts, and that's one thing that I really think about in my life, is how I was not taught to take control of my thoughts, and consequently they ran rampant, and it's a bondage. It's a terrible bondage. It's not. I guess I'm thankful for all the God, all the things God protected me from, and that didn't happen in the natural. But it's still not any better in our minds. However, it's the consequences are different, I believe. So I'm thankful for not falling into a lot of these things. I think had I been in the city somewhere with the kind of mind I had, it just seemed like I would have been the worst of real terror to people, probably. I don't know where that would have led to, but I just thank God that I was not there. It's a blessing I'm very thankful for, and in that way, I think we can. I know there's this question a little bit on how much do we make our children obey or listen to us, and there's. I think there's much value in a child being taught to obey their parents, and even if they don't understand, there's just some value behind that that's just worth having. It's not salvation. It doesn't mean a child is good automatically. It doesn't happen that way. But there's values behind it. At least I'm thankful for anything that my parents or my heritage wouldn't allow. Anything good that they did or anything bad they didn't allow, I'm just thankful for that. It doesn't mean that we couldn't go and do bad things, but it's just something I'm thankful for. And I think all children are, if they ever come to the place where they want to serve God, they'll be thankful for anything their parents have protected them from. And that's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so my just a little testimony thrown in here, how God would slowly but surely got a hold of me that take responsibility for my thought life, and it was a long hard battle. But if we continue to get out of our cage and we continue to fight against Satan, he's going to lose. Sooner or later, he's going to have to move back. He's not in authority, and he's not in charge. But if he can keep us thinking that we're in bondage and we're captives to him, he'll be glad to do that. And so not only did Adam and Eve fall back then, God promised them a Savior, and I also wanted to, that is the, something they were looking forward to for thousands of years. And when he came, most of them missed it. Well, we know the early church history, and there was a lot of people that did grasp him and were converted and accepted him, but the vast majority did not, and they rejected him, and the rulers especially rejected him. And, but they, all these years from Adam, I think when Seth was born, Eve said, "Oh, is he already here?" If I remember right, something to that effect. And but it was not for a long time. Close to 4,000 years, I guess. And now it's 2,000 years since, and we're still looking to Christ as our Savior, and through him we can be motivated. We can be. He'll teach us. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He wants all of us. I don't know. Not sure I can remember where it's at. I think it's Corinthians somewhere. It's just a real nice layout of how so many good things, how Christ wants us to, God wants us to be godly, and he wants us to believe in his Son. I mentioned it lately, I think, but I'll mention it again, that God is going over the earth seeking whom he can find to make himself strong to. I just find this intriguing, how God is looking for somebody that surrenders to him, that gives up to him and seeks to do his will. And he wants to make himself strong to us. And he's willing to do that. He loves to do that. It's all intertwined, I think. I can't separate Christ and God. And Jesus came and he spoke all the words that God wanted, his Father wanted him to speak. And he finished. He filled it completely. He did it. He finished it. There was nothing to add to it anymore. Nothing to take away. He did such a thorough job. We're left without excuse. I don't know if this was one of the excuses man made, but it almost seems to me like I get this feeling that man was always saying, "Well, God, you're God, and we're just humans. You know, you don't know what we have to go through." That's not true anymore. Jesus came down from heaven, and he walked as a man. He was a man. He hurt like a man. He was tempted like men. And he suffered, and we have no excuse anymore. He has completed it. He thoroughly finished it, and we can safely trust in him. And that's about all I have. Thank God to be able to be here, and just encourage all of us to have faith in him.
Brother Walter, can you expound a little bit on the 4,000 years?
Well, it was 4,000 years from the time Adam and Eve fell till Christ came. That's what I was trying to say. Plus or minus, I'm sure, but... yeah. That answered.
Bless Brother Walter for your exhorting us to this freedom in Christ, and that is such a blessing. That is such good news, and sadly, as you inferred, the devil is tricking so many people. He's tricked me for so many years to think that I was just going to have to be his victim, his captive. And I spent some hours yesterday with someone who's a Lutheran, and he's been deceived by Martin Luther and his henchmen into thinking that Paul admits he is captive. He is, while he's writing to the Romans at the end of chapter 7, he is captive to the law of sin. He can't escape this. So if that's true, what hope do you and I have if one of the chiefest apostles was captive? So verse 25 of chapter 7, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Case closed. Do we take one verse and then close the case? This is very deceptive, because although Paul didn't write it with chapters, he just continues. And he says, very almost the next sentence, verse 2 of chapter 8, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So when Paul was saying thanks be to God through Christ Jesus, was he saying thanks be to God that I by my flesh have to serve the law of sin and death? Or was he saying thanks be to God because through Christ Jesus I can be set free from this law of sin and death? I think we know the answer. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Walter, for your testimony and so many good points. The mystery of our own life, and Paul does say, Brother Micah, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know yet as he ought to know. And Moses said in Deuteronomy, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. So if you get, okay, you get Jared, I'm picking up Jared over there, Jared, and you let him eat candy and drink Kool-Aid and just lots and lots of candy without Will and Ian instructing him that that's not good for you, he'll get sick. He'll get sick, terribly sick. Children, as most of you know better than I, children need the instruction of their parents. When children do the things without a law, they will get sick. Jeremiah said, it's not within man to direct his own steps. We need to be told what to do. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and we need that instruction. And Paul does say in Romans 1 and Romans 15, the obedience of faith, the obedience of faith. So we trust. And again, the Hebrew writer says that people who have their senses trained by doing, they can see that. And look at the world today. There was a little clip on Google or something, and these two young girls, it was a Ray Comfort thing over in Zurich, Switzerland. And these two young girls, I mean like 23, 25, just, you know, don't believe in Christ and just, well, you know, if they're doing their own thing. Well, they will repent as if God gives them enough time. They'll get, they will repent of their way and find out it doesn't work. Whether it's drinking or sex or whatever their thing is, it will not work. And children, how blessed it is when parents like the ones here in Southwest Missouri train up their children in the ways of the Lord. How I wish that I was. We hardly ever opened up a Bible as a Catholic, and we had terrible examples. But anyway, thanks, Walter, for giving that testimony. And we need to obey God because we will see. It's tried seven times over, Psalm 12. His word is tried seven times over. And it will. The word of the Lord is right. And yet people don't. It is a very narrow way. The Lord be magnified.
Father above, with eyes full of mercy. praises give.